Welcome to Hey Ghost Hey, the podcast about ghosts, ghost hunting, and other paranormal phenomena of the Pacific Northwest. I am your host, Charles Crooks, owner, tour guide, and psychic of Bellingham Ghost Tours. We are here because I like ghosts a lot. Now let's begin. Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Hey Ghost Hey. And today we're going to do something a little bit different than normal. So, of course, normally I focus on ghosts, or at least I have been so far. But this time I'm going to focus on being psychic. On the tours, a lot of people will ask, of course, about ghosts and hauntings are a lot of the first questions that I get right away. But I would say, secondly, frequently people ask about what it's like to be psychic, how I experienced being psychic, and kind of how I came into my abilities. And so I would definitely say my experience has been a slow burn. There is not one, any sort of like awakening aha moment that I've had that's made me say, oh, I'm psychic. In fact, as a kid, I always kind of admired watching the psychics on TV and what they would do. And I always wanted to experience things in that way, and I never did. So therefore, never really thought that I was psychic at all. So as I started to get into tarot and start to do ghost hunting, I really started to notice that I was having these coincidences, whether it was thinking about something right before someone said it, or having the same thought, or just a lot of what seemed like very small coincidences at first. But then I realized that there is probably something to it. And so after kind of having that realization, I realized that I wanted to grow and kind of work on this for myself, but I really had no way of going about it. So I then found Jill Miller with Simply Spirit Reading and Healing Center here in Bellingham, Washington. And unfortunately, it's no longer active after 2020. She closed up the center and then kind of moved on with her life, which I do not blame her for, as she had that for many years. But I was lucky enough to do quite a few of her programs that spanned quite a while. I did a year-long clairvoyance program and a six-month apprentice program, both of which I found invaluable to really helped me learn and kind of identify this side of myself. And of course, I have still learned constantly beyond that. I feel like it's an ever-evolving thing. But I also believe that everyone is naturally psychic on some level, just like artistic or musical or even athletic ability, all of those things that are kind of inherently stronger in some people more than others. I believe intuitive ability is exactly the same way. And so it's something that everyone can connect in with, but naturally some people have it a little bit stronger than others. And I think also that I expected to be psychic in a certain way, or expected to experience these things kind of like how Hollywood had describe them for years, or how I at least saw it on TV and movies. And really coming to terms with my life was not like that, and kind of then trying to go on my own journey to identify what that does look like and how I can tap into it more and find that more beneficial for my life. So basically, that is what I'm sharing with you guys here in this episode. These are two stories that I've got for you about just how being psychic has really been beneficial to my life in these last few years. All right, so here we go. We're going to jump right into the first story, which is called A Hierarchy of Dragonflies. Here we go. It was May of 2018, and I had suddenly moved back in with my parents. After falling out with my roommate, I was grateful that I had a place to suddenly move to. I immediately began my search for a new place, this time by myself. I was really excited to find a place of my own without any roommates, but was not looking forward to the process of searching for a new place, especially as living in Bellingham was becoming more and more competitive each and every year. Within days, I had found a perfect place out in the middle of nowhere in Custer. It was everything I wanted. I was the only one interested in it, and already started imagining my secluded country life dreams. When I went to go drop off my application, the woman who accepted it gave me the bad news. There was a massive pipe explosion within the home, and it was being taken off the rental market indefinitely. While I was extremely disappointed, I had to let it go because I had no other choice. It was still early, and I rebounded quickly. However, one day, I was feeling dissatisfied with the options that were available to me, so I decided to go for a walk at one of my favorite places outside of town. So I went to the Hertz Trail on Lake Whatcom Park. Walking along the trail has always been therapeutic, no matter what I was feeling. At this time, I had also started the six-month apprentice program, which I had talked about with Jill at Simply Spirit here in town. I thought that this would be the perfect opportunity to test out some of the skills I had learned, so I found a nice quiet bench that overlooked the calm waters of the lake. I got quiet within myself and reached out to the energy of the lake and the surrounding area. "Hello, lake," I said in my mind, and I got a response also in my mind, but it was a woman's voice. "Hello," it said back. "Is this the spirit of the lake?" I asked. "Yes," she answered simply. I continued, "My name is Chuck, and I have a request for you. I would really like to live somewhere around you. I feel calm at your edge, and I am grateful to have you." "Okay, I will help you with this," she responded. "Thank you very much. Do you know how long I can expect it to take?" I felt kind of bad for asking, but I couldn't help it. There was a pause. "About a month," she finally responded. I thanked her with deep gratitude once more and knew my time was done. Feeling satisfied with the experience, I had a good walk back and enjoyed the rest of the day. While it felt like it was a good meditation, I didn't really have much experience reaching out to nature in this way. I told myself to take it all with a grain of salt and really just have the attitude of, let's just see what happens. If anything, it gave me temporary peace of mind to have a potential deadline. If it didn't come true, then so what? I got excited as a place in Sudden Valley came up. Being in Sudden Valley came with lake access. It was too early for the lake's timeline, but I thought maybe this could be it until I saw the place. It was expensive and tiny and had an even tinier window. Only one window to be exact. I couldn't do it. It was easy to let go of and continue the search. However, nothing came up. 2 weeks of nothing came up. Feeling discouraged again, I went to another favorite location, the boardwalk of Hovander Park that goes through Tennant Lake. I sat down on a quiet bench and tuned into the world around me. I started to ask the lake for its help as well, but I stopped. I already had a request out with Lake Whatcom. I should honor that first, I told myself. 2 weeks more wasn't going to kill me, so instead, I simply decided to feel grateful for where I was. I thought of memories with my grandmother when she would take me and my brothers to the same boardwalk every time we came to visit Bellingham. When I was done enjoying my memories and feeling grateful for the park, I got up to leave. Along my way back, I noticed a considerable amount of dragonflies at my feet. With every step, a flurry of young dragonflies would scurry into the air. I drove away feeling really good from the experience and went home. My parents were out of town, so I was alone house-sitting for them. That same night, I was out in the backyard watering their plants. It was a lovely evening, and I was lost in thought. I randomly looked down and saw a decent-sized dragonfly just sitting on the patio. I thought to myself, well, that's a coincidence, thinking back to the little ones I saw on my walk back. Before I was even able to move towards it, it gently started to fly up and landed at eye level on one of the trees I was watering. Since it placed itself so appropriately in front of me, I thought, why not say hello? So I did just that. So once again, this is all in my mind, and I started with, "Hello, dragonfly." "Hello," it said in return, "I have a message for you." "Oh, okay," I said, quite surprised. "Well, please go ahead." "King Dragonfly and the others were impressed with you today, and the gratitude that you showed for his lake. Because of this, he would like to help you with finding your new home." "All right, well, I thank you and him, and every dragonfly in between very much," I responded. And with that, it flew away. The encounter felt so matter-of-fact, I started to wonder if I was just making this all up for my own entertainment. But something told me to trust in it, so I said thank you and went on with the evening. The very next day, there was a dragonfly on the front door when I arrived home from work. I couldn't help but smile at the obvious sign. Later that evening, I got a call from my friend to get my hopes up about a place that initially wasn't on my radar at all. Nothing was certain, but he was making plans to move back to Bellingham after being away for a while. He was going to live at an old property with a previous landlord, and he said another unit near might actually be opening up as well. We always had talked about how great it would be to live up there and be neighbors one day, but I wasn't going to get my hopes up, especially after all the other failed opportunities that I had. Things continued to stay quiet. It had been almost a month since I initially talked to the lake, and still no new home. It had been about 2 weeks since I talked to the dragonflies, and nothing there either. So naturally, I went back to check in with them. So I took myself back to the same bench at Hovander Park. I got myself into the zone and cautiously reached out. I felt tentative as I wasn't sure what kind of response I was going to get. "Excuse me, dragonflies?" I kind of put out into the air. "We're working on it," was the loud and immediate response that I got. Okay, I'm sorry to bother you. I will leave it up to you and thank you very much." I wasn't quite sure where to go from there, so I just removed myself from their space. But then, another voice popped in. "Hey." "Hello," it said. "Hello," I responded. "Who's there?" "It's us, the frogs." "Well, hello, frogs, and thank you for being here. Do I need to talk to the king or queen frog?" I asked. "No, we do not have leaders. All are equal, and we want to help you too." "Well, that's very kind of you. What do you need me to do?" "Just be open to receiving." And that was it. I got nothing else from them. Once again, I said thank you and felt gratitude for the interaction. I ended my session on the bench and went home. At this point, all I could do was trust that it would work out. I wasn't even sure how to exactly go about being open to receiving. So I thought about it and settled with, I can just be open to whatever comes my way. The very next day, my friend texted me and said I got the place. Not only were we going to be neighbors like we had dreamt about, but we were just a mile from the lake and a 10-minute walk to a beautiful view of the lake. Everything had come together, as everyone promised, all within the time that was initially given to me. After moving in, one day I was curious. So why the dragonflies and frogs? What was their significance to me ending up with where I was? I got quiet and sent the question out there. The answer that came back kind of surprised me is honestly, it was not one I was expecting. I saw the image of a pond, one that I knew, as I had been there several times before. It was the pond behind my new landlord's house, which was full of dragonflies and frogs as summer had just begun. I have now lived in this space for nearly 7 years. It is the longest I have lived anywhere in my adult life. When all of this was happening, I remember bringing it up to my clairvoyance class to be like, am I making this up? Or is there really something to it? While I had had communications with different forms of spirit before, nothing quite like this throughout nature, or nothing that really kind of almost had a progression to it. So of course, everyone in the class that I told me that it was real and that I should really believe in this. But I know if I had told anyone random on the street that they might absolutely think I was crazy for experiencing this. But really, in the end, it's up for me to decide whether it was real or not. And I think I could either choose to chalk it all up to a bunch of coincidences and try to explain them away or brush them off, or I can choose to see this adding to life, maybe with a little more magic or wonder, or something special to it. So I really kind of have to choose the latter, because why not? If it makes life a little bit more exciting or a little bit more special, then I really kind of feel like there's no harm in believing in that, especially when it helps add to the things that are going on in our lives. However, either way, in the end, I am truly grateful for everything happening in the exact way that it did. I would not trade the experience or where I live for anything. All right, and that is story number one, and we're going to jump right into story number two, which is called Take the Wheel, Jesus. It was a Friday afternoon, another week in my clairvoyance year-long program. Every week we had a different topic to learn about or experience, and this week we were going to work with the energy of Ascended Masters. Immediately, I was excited and curious to learn more about the topic. My teacher began to list off the names of the energies that we were going to try and experience that day. First up was Buddha, so yes, I was down with that. Second up was Guanyin. I had no idea who she was, but definitely cool to experience her and be open there. But then lastly, the third name that she dropped was Jesus. And as soon as she said the name, all of my interest died in the topic. No thank you, I personally do not need Jesus showing up into my psychic lessons. I had my fill of him and his teachings growing up as a Catholic child in the Midwest. And while Jesus may love all, I learned very quickly a good number of his followers sure do not. And I was not ready to deal with this or bring that hypocrisy into a space that allowed me to be greatly who I was. And so I could feel this wall of resistance rising within me, and we hadn't even begun the exercise yet. So immediately Jill, the teacher, could sense that the name Jesus alone struck a nerve with some of us. She reassured us that everything was going to be fine, and it would not hurt us to have an open mind and just to see what we experience. So when the time came for Jesus, I took a few very deep breaths to settle myself and set my intentions to have whatever encounter I was going to have with him, and literally let go and let God. Immediately, things came into focus in my mind. I was driving a car, and in the passenger seat was Jesus next to me. He looked like white Jesus, long hair, white robe, the Jesus I knew from all the pictures from my time in church or church-related school. But what surprised me was that he was casually rolling a joint of marijuana in his hands. In my life at the time, I had been working in cannabis retail, so I figured it must have something to do with that. We began exchanging small talk back and forth as I continued to drive, and he continued to roll his joint meticulously and perfectly. I asked him a few questions that were on my mind and felt that I got some good answers, but finally I couldn't ignore the green elephant in the car. I turned to him and blatantly asked, "Jesus, what is going on with the joint?" He looked directly at me and smiled. He said, "This? Nothing really, but it made you comfortable enough to talk to me," and he smiled again. I paused. Everything inside of me stopped, but in a good way. I couldn't help it, but my first thought was, "God damn it, Jesus," because he was right. I was comfortable with him in this moment. And with having that realization, absolute years of resistance that I had felt towards him slipped away. And it was extremely freeing in a way that I never thought was possible. We had about another minute together before we had to bring our focus back to the class, but I was coming back with an awe and wonder from the experience. Now, even if I was to say that I was making all of this up in my head, I really truly don't care because it changed me in such a profound way. One of the things that he helped me understand is that he is not his followers, yet he still loves them anyways. It's what I've heard preached about for years, of course, but hearing it in this way, it actually made me feel compassion for a lot of the people that do terrible things in his name. And within finding that compassion, very unexpectedly, if that's not the energy of Jesus, then I don't really know what is. And please understand, while in no way am I condoning the shitty actions of people, I think if we are ever to see growth or change from them, I think forgiveness is a component that has to be introduced at some point. The experience also helped me realize that I can have a solid and healthy relationship with Jesus that is not led or dictated by any church or organization. Churches, when done right, can be a very positive space of healing, inspiration, and gathering for a community, and I think that is a very beautiful thing. But with the spectrum of humanity, of course you are going to have those that take advantage of that situation as well. I have no judgments for those in religion because, after all, we are all on our own individual journeys. But I do believe if we can openly share our experiences with each other, at least without judgment or fear of one another, we can learn and grow to become better humans together, one day at a time. And that, my friends, is the end of story two. Alrighty, everyone. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here for this episode, as I have never really shared these stories with many people before ever, so to do it on a wide scale like this really means a lot to me. So at the very least, I hope you were able to listen with an open mind, even if you don't believe, that's totally fine. But I don't know, there's a lot more, I think, to be experienced within this world and to be open to. So I will leave things at that. Thank you again so much for being here for this episode. You can always follow everything at Bellingham Ghost Tours on TikTok and Instagram. And until next time, stay spooky, my friends.